Session 141, March 17, 1965. Early Sessions, Volume 3. Good evening. Rob. Good evening, Seth. Seth, the experience this evening concerned telepathic communications between the two of you. We will continue our discussion concerning action and identities. I have said that an identity is a part of action, and basically inseparable from action. Identity attempts to form meaningful patterns and relationships from action. Consciousness is action that perceives itself. The ego is action's attempt to stand off from itself. Action may show itself as motion, but it is much more than motion in the terms which you usually use. The motion is but one small dimension within action's realm. All types of consciousness represent a different focus of energy's perception within itself. There is no past or future to action. All action is simultaneous. Some identities, and some forms of consciousness, particularly the ego, perceive a past or a present, but this is merely the result of a manner in which such identities and consciousness view available data. A consciousness is characterized by the particular ways in which it views or perceives available action. It is characterized by the type of action which it is most likely to perceive. It is characterized by the pattern of perception itself. Since action is not apart from structure, but is indeed the formulator of structure, then it is obvious that generally the type, nature, extent, and scope of characteristic perception patterns of a consciousness will determine its physical structure and not the other way around. There is no one particular pattern followed by consciousness in its perception of itself as action. Mankind is more familiar with certain patterns and relatively unfamiliar with others. Any action changes itself. Nothing is constant. This rule is not forced upon action from some outside agency, but is simply a part of its own nature. Action, you may say, is carried away by itself. You are familiar with very small portions of reality. Your perception characteristics at this time dictate and limit the aspects of action which you can perceive. You can, however, focus very clearly on other aspects. The particular types of consciousness, the identities, are merely the result of action's formulation into perception patterns with which it can focus upon certain aspects of itself. It may be thought that such perception patterns or identities may be limited, but this is hardly the case. For without them, whole portions of reality would never be perceived. There is much here that will take us a long while to explain, for the line can theoretically be drawn anywhere in the formulation of identities and consciousness, and herein lies your freedom. I suggest your break. Seth, the dimensions of consciousness are not arbitrary. They are not clearly drawn. They are open. They are action. They are a dimension, as I mentioned. Consciousness is not one thing. Therefore, consciousness is not of itself limiting. Boundaries may be set up in terms of a self. A self is a gestalt of action perception patterns, which is formed together through attraction. This, when it occurs, and this particular formation into a self may or may not occur, but when it occurs, it is a result of our second previously mentioned dilemma. The self, as you know, it is in actuality a self plus an ego. Rob notes, for material on the three creative dilemmas of inner vitality, see the 138th session. Seth, the ego, as you recall, is self's attempt to set itself apart from action, and to see or perceive action as an object. The ego attempts to attain stability and dominance and resents change. It seeks to limit certain perceptions, to block out many perceptions of which the self is knowledgeable. In this way, limitations become fairly rigid. An ego could be compared to a small dam in this respect. However, action constantly forms perceptual patterns in which it can view itself. Again, these patterns are formed one within the other, and they could be said to form that imaginary structure which we called the fifth dimension so many sessions ago. Rob notes, see the 12th session of January 2, 1964 in Volume 1. A particular consciousness is a gestalt of these conceptual patterns, but there is nothing to prevent a consciousness from increasing itself by experiencing other conceptual patterns or patterns of perception. This assimilation would increase, not decrease, any given consciousness. We use, or you use, words merely as a convenience. We therefore say that a consciousness is a gestalt of patterns of perception, by which action knows itself. But the patterns of perceptions may grow, and the consciousness reach out. The consciousness has changed. It is no longer the same consciousness, since it has extended itself. Yet it is the same consciousness, on the other hand, because it is that which has extended itself. So words can confuse us. A consciousness can be said to be a gestalt of patterns of perception, then. And while the definition stands, it can only apply to any given consciousness for a breadth of an instant, since the patterns of perception, being action, have already changed, and the particular consciousness of which we spoke and which we tried to limit and pin down is gone. Yet, as you can see, what it was when we spoke of it is still present in what it will by now have become. The ego, through its own nature and characteristics, attempts to limit such change, but it succeeds only in limiting itself by limiting its perceptions. It still must change, as is obvious, but it changes along certain lines, moving within certain patterns of perception which are characteristic of it. It cannot maintain stability for all its efforts, and it cannot in any way limit the self. It, the ego, merely does not perceive because it will not perceive those other perceptual patterns, and that larger scope with which the whole self is constantly involved. I suggest your break. Rob notes, Seth, she said, felt very pleased with himself when he referred to the fifth dimension material, as if to say, see, this material is why I couldn't explain any more of the fifth dimension to you way back in the 12th session. Jane resumed at 10:02. Seth, this material on action and identities and consciousness will add much to your own understanding of dreams, of the whole self, and of other facets of reality of which I will speak shortly. The self, then, is not static by any means. It has no arbitrary boundaries. The term itself is used only for convenience. And indeed, the concept of the self is a concept of the ego, which considers itself the self. The self, then, being action which has formed itself into gestalts of pattern perceptions, by which it knows itself, this self changes constantly. And within the range of effective perception, starting at any particular point, there are patterns within patterns. For convenience's sake, we will have to limit our discussion to some degree, taking the self as a particular gestalt within or composed of a particular range of perception patterns, though in actuality the range may be smaller or larger at any given time. The self, then, unknown to the ego, perceives itself in a vast variety of experiences, and in, indeed, a vast number of realities. Each of these so-called realities, for one blends into the other, could be termed or viewed as a separate field. Each is therefore composed of the characteristic perception patterns that happen to lie within it, and these so-called minor fields could then be termed other selves or minor selves from the standpoint of the self that we are considering. From the standpoint of these seemingly minor selves, however, the viewpoint would be entirely different. If we take, for example, a particular range of various perception patterns for convenience sake and label them oneself, then the various patterns within would appear to be minor selves forming the whole. If, however, we changed our arbitrary boundary points, then the minor selves at either end would now seem to be the portions of other selves. For practical purposes, it may be said that a self is composed of a gestalt of perceptual patterns, within which a fairly constant efficiency is maintained. This is the best definition I can give you at this time. As this effective field of perception patterns changes, so do the apparent boundaries of the practical self. it is imperative that we move away from the concept of a self as an indivisible, rigid, and limited reality. Indeed, I hesitate almost to continue, since I do not want to confuse you. The fact is that any given self, as we have described the self, may have more than one ego, though these egos will not be aware of each other, even though operating simultaneously. You have information on the inner ego. There is also a dream ego, in that there is within that reality field a directed part of the self that is concerned with the construction of purpose and meaning. You may take a break now, and if you prefer, I will then continue briefly. Rob, okay. Rob notes, for material on the inner ego, the self-conscious self behind the self-conscious self, see the 28th session. Seth, you can here indeed see where I'm leading you. The deeply and strongly dimensioned sphere I used as an analogy for an action, if you recall, for any portion of action, you can now indeed further imagine one entity being composed of such an action, with egos like many faces looking outward in all directions, and each perceiving vastly different fields of reality, looking inward and outward, backward and forward, as it were, through and beyond, and yet each action, or entity, is a part of another, and is both within and without another, and none of it is meaningless. And yet, in a basic manner, all of it has the meaning that you give it. And what meaning you give it is there, and part of it, since you who project the meaning are yourselves part of it. The inner self is, therefore, that inner portion of action which forms the egos and the selves through the dilemmas of which I have spoken. Part of the self knows and knows that it knows. Part of the self knows and does not know it knows. The creative dilemmas of which I have spoken are the basis for all realities and the heart of all meaning. I will now close a most excellent session. Rob, good night, Seth. Rob notes, she reported that at the end of the session, she received a strong emotional feeling from Seth. It was directed toward us and was to this effect, quote, through action, see how I am a part of you both now and how foolish it is for you to worry about identities when all identities are so bound together. Jane quoted this to me immediately after the session ended, and I included it here without change. My point is to show that she did not have time to consciously tinker with the thought, to recompose it in a literary sense, etc.